Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the conference call of WashTec AG. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode, and after the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Dr. Ralf Koeppe, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome you today to the presentation of the WashTec's financial statement for the first half year, 2020. With me here in the room are my colleagues, Chief Sales Officer Stefan Weber and Sergey Volodin, Head of Global Finance and Accounting. Next slide, please. Ladies and gentlemen, COVID-19 dominates the whole world in a way we could hardly have imagined before. And of course, the pandemic is also affecting our business. Allow me to go into this briefly before I report to you on the past half year and our new guidance. Next slide, please. In today's annual shareholder meeting, we presented the wash figures of our customers in the first half of the year in China, France, and Germany. For those of you who participated in earlier conference calls, you might remember this chart. Now we present the complete data set until end of June. At the very beginning, you see a decline in the car wash business in China. The 2-year vacation was extended by the corona lockdown. Public life in China hardly took place in the major cities. This also brought our customers' business to a virtual standstill. It was not until mid-February that slightly recovery became apparent due to the increasing lifting of the regional initial restrictions. In France, the initial restrictions take effect from mid-March. In Spain and Italy, the wash figures collapse at about the same time. It is our southern European neighbors who are most affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. As you can see, however, the car wash business in France returned to normal levels in mid-May. In Germany, the car wash business continued despite the lockdown. Although many car washes had to close the car wash facilities at petrol stations, could continue to operate in Germany. In April, the number of car washes even exceeded that of the previous year, although the motorways were as if they had been swept clean. This development is due to the pollen flight of the birch tree, which puts a yellow pollen veil over the car paint, annoying for car owners, as you probably know, an experience, but good for our business. Again, I would like to emphasize how exact the data is providing us with information about the car wash business. WashTec is on the way to make use of its digital data foundation for its core business. Next slide, please. Allow me also to say a few words about the economic environment before I explain the financial results for the first half year 2020. WashTec is the world's leading provider of innovative vehicle washing solutions. Our product range includes capital goods such as all types of car washing systems with the associated peripherals and water treatment systems. In addition, our customers receive the services and consumables required to operate the system right through to arranging financing or the operator management of systems. Here you can see the IFO index for capital goods in mechanical engineering and the index for consumer consumption. Both reflect our business. On the one hand, the capital goods, the machines, and on the other hand, the washing business and thus the consumer goods, chemicals and service. What do we derive from this for WashTec? These general economic conditions have changed. It's not only due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Many sectors of the mechanical engineering industry have been experiencing a sustained economic downturn since mid-2018. The associated uncertainties are leading to customers' reluctance to invest. How long this will be in the case is difficult to estimate. According to a survey by the Bavarian Metal and Electronic Employers Association, IG Metall, most companies expect to reach the level they achieved before the corona crisis in 2022 at best. As far as our own customers are concerned, the first encouraging signs are emerging. Nevertheless, we must be prepared to achieve our target profitability in the future even with lower machine sales. On the positive side, we do not expect any major changes to the business model as such in the situation, as the WashTec customer car wash business remains profitable and the corresponding investment backlog is being built up with regard to machine investments. Next slide, please. We now look back at the last 6 months of 2020. Let me give you an overview of the business figure for the first half year 2020. Revenue for the half year ending June 30th, 2020 was 175.4 million. That means 23.7 million or 11.9% down on the prior year period. While the service and chemical business recorded only slight declines, sales volumes of equipment sold were sharply lower. The negative revenue trend was caused by the spread of the COVID-19 pandemic. In line with revenue, group EBIT fell significantly in the second quarter to 3.5 million euro. Half-year EBIT was 5.2 million. EBIT margin for the half-year was 3%. Free cash flow increased to 13.6 million euro. In total, cash funds went up relative to December 31st, 2019 by 8.7 million euro to minus 26 million euro. In the same period of the prior year, the change in cash and cash equivalents amounted to minus 53.4 million, including a dividend payment of 32.8 million. No dividend payment was made in the reporting period. Next slide, please. What does this mean for revenue by region? The European market in particular was negatively affected in the second quarter with a 23.9% decline in revenues to 68.2 million euro. However, the situation in Europe improved significantly in the course of the second quarter. The decline in orders received in June was only in the low single-digit range. Revenue in the North America region still increased in the second quarter by 16.4%. The increase predominantly related to the key accounts and resulted mainly from the orders existing at the beginning of the quarter. Revenue in the direct sales business remained stable despite the spread of the pandemic in this region. In the Asia-Pacific region, revenue was slightly down by 0.7% in the first half of the year. Revenue performance in the second quarter was stable. Next slide, please. The revenue development has the following effects on the EBIT for the regions. Earnings in the Europe region were significantly down in both the second quarter and the first half year. Despite an approximately 6% reduction in costs in the first half year, it was not possible to offset the fall in revenue. The EBIT performance in the North America region is mainly a result of the reduced cost due to the adopted optimization measures combined with the positive revenue performance. In the Asia-Pacific region, the company reported positive earnings performance relative to the prior year, primarily due to the completed restructuring in Australia. Next slide, please. I would now like to say a few words about revenue by product. Let's wait for a second. Okay. While the service and chemicals business recorded only slight declines, sales volumes of equipment sold were sharply lower. The negative revenue trend was caused by the spread of the COVID-19 pandemic. With regard to the product segments, there were significant impacts on sales of machinery. The chemicals and service business had a stabilizing effect, even though it was also affected by the pandemic in countries that imposed curfews, including the closure of car wash as in South Europe. Next slide, please. Here you see again the overview of the profit and loss statement. At this point, I would like to mention the reduction in operating costs and personal expenses. I have already informed you in detail about the development of revenue and earnings. We will talk about reduction of personal costs some slides later as well. Next slide, please. These figures also show that WashTec has a solid balance sheet structure. The reduction in total debt is particularly noteworthy in today's times, which is attributable to the positive cash flow development in the first half year of 2020. As is known, no dividend was paid out in the first half of the year. Today, at the annual general meeting, the proposal for the appropriation of profits was approved by the annual general meeting. WashTec is working consistently on securing the company's liquidity in a forward-looking manner. Our common goal is to provide WashTec with robust protection against the still uncertain business development in these difficult times, precisely because we want to return to an attractive dividend policy in the future. Next slide, please. Now I would like to update you on our performance programs. As you know, it includes short-term cost savings in 2019 and the adjustment of our personnel structure by the end of 2020. In addition, we have launched a restructuring program in North America and reduced the workforce there. We have accelerated the program with the COVID-19 pandemic. As of June 30, we are already below the pre-COVID-19 goal of 1,820 employees. With 1,795 employees, we have 79 fewer than at the end of 2019. Next slide, please. A further increase in profitability is being pursued through the Operation Excellence Program, the third component of our performance program. This part of the program aims to streamline processes and reduce complexity in all areas of the company. In a number of individual projects, processes and product costs are being optimized, complexity reduced, and processes simplified. This also affects our North America business. Operation excellence is not a new topic at WashTec. Particularly in the areas of sales and supply chain, good success have been achieved in recent years. Production is flexible, positioned, and was able to compensate well for the existing decline in business in the second quarter of 2020. We only had a few days of short time working here and a two-week production shutdown, which could be implemented at a short notice under the Bavarian Metal Working Collective Agreement, IG Metall. The sales excellence practice in the company and the expansion of the direct business ultimately led to strong growth. The newly established operational excellence programs are another important contribution to increasing profitability. A company with well-adjusted lean processes and improved profitability has the best prerequisites to master the necessary steps of digitization and digital transformation. Next slide, please. Some words about our new SmartCare machine. Digital machines like the SmartCare enables the operator to program, set and remotely control washing systems conveniently and situation dependent from any location. The chemicals are brought to the right place by the programming exactly and well dosed. Intelligent sensors and actuators also help to improve the washing and drying results. In addition, in the future, it will be possible for customers to customize their car wash even more individually in order to care for their vehicle. A digital connection also ensures optimum worldwide spare parts availability and maximum system availability. And our service network, the densest manufacturer service network in the industry, will be efficiently directed to our customers' location. Digital technologies enable easy selection of the wash program and payment by the end customer via the Easy Car Wash app. In short, digital technologies bring us the chance to be even closer to our customers with completely new future innovations. The SmartCare machine introduced in 2019 is now delivered out of serial production. This machine is setting a new milestone in the car wash business. Next slide, please. Yesterday, we published our revised guidance for the fiscal year 2020, after we were forced to withdraw our guidance in early April because we could not foresee the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on our business. The new guidance is based on considerations and assumptions that I would like to explain to you briefly. In principle, we assume that the significant economic uncertainties will remain in the coming months and will have a negative impact on investment confidence in the planned business. Possible new pandemic outbreaks in European countries and in the countries of the Asia-Pacific region will only lead to locally limited reactions and can thus be contained. This also applies to the second wave of the pandemic that could possibly arise this fall here in Europe. In the United States, we expect the pandemic to be contained in the third quarter and to ease slightly in the fourth quarter. In the United States, our company Mark 7 was granted government support due to COVID-19 pandemic. This will be utilized in the second half of the year and will help the company in this region to compensate for the costs not covered by lower business volume during the rest of the year. We continue to expect machine sales revenues to remain at a significantly lower level for the rest of the year and not to reach the level of the prior year, even the individual quarters. Nevertheless, we will still expect sales volumes in the fourth quarter of the year to increase compared to the second and third quarters. The decisive factor here is an investment activity at key accounts. The company expects a partial easing of the current investment freeze. There have been already signals to this effect in recent weeks. A further assumption is that revenue in the service and chemical sectors will normalize. A decline in these product segments, as in the second quarter of 2020, will not be repeated at this level. Based on these assumptions, we expect decreasing revenue in 2020. The fall in revenue will be expected between 15% and 20% compared to the prior year. EBIT will also decrease relatively to the prior year on the basis of the projected revenue performance. The company aims for an EBIT margin of 3% to 5%. The company expects decreasing revenues for the regions Europe and North America. We expect increasing revenue in the Asia-Pacific region. In terms of earnings, EBIT, we expect an increasing result for the regions North America and Asia-Pacific in contrast to the region Europe. Despite significantly lower earnings, the company expects an increasing free cash flow this year. Particular uncertainty applies here to the timing of the recovery in revenue and the associated level of working capital. I would also like to emphasize that the management of the WashTec Group will continue to push ahead with the implementation of the performance program already begun in the prior year, and the company's structure and processes will be adapted to the new developments. In the medium term, we are sticking to our goal of achieving a double-digit EBIT margin again through the implemented measures. Next slide, please. Now I'm finished with my presentation. Unfortunately, we were not able to see some of you personally at the annual general meeting today. Even more reasons for me to look forward to perhaps meeting you in person at the upcoming investor conferences in autumn. Let us simply remain optimistic and hope that the situation will continue to stabilize. Otherwise, we will, of course, continue to exchange information with you in online conferences. Thank you for your attention, and we are now looking forward to your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for a speaker, please dial 0 and 1 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it is your turn to speak, you can dial 0 and 2 to cancel your question. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. And the first question is from Stefan Kutz, Warburg Research. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. This is Eckhard Kutz from Warburg Research. Hello, everybody. I have a couple of questions. First of all, with regard to all your efficiency measures, cost-saving programs, and so on, I wonder, could you provide us with a sales figure on an annual basis from 2021 onwards, which would be enough to generate a double-digit margin? So I think in the past 2019, the level to reach 10% margin was roughly 440 million. So an estimate of 400 million in the future, is that a fair assumption, or what do you think about that?
Okay, should we answer right now, or let's say in the short, of course we have to lower the range for profitability to achieve this double digit. That means 400 million euro revenue a year is a good figure, but of course we might even work to go a little below on this. But I also can hand over to Sergei Volodin, who might want to add something on this. Yeah.
Let's say the target is to increase the profitability, say, in many areas, and for sure we are looking for, let's say, for the future development in revenue. But today nobody can say what we would like to expect. So we prepare the company for also bad times. Yeah, that's our target, to be prepared, because let's say to add some cost on board if you see that the development is running much better than we expected, is easier than, let's say, to reduce cost. So our target is definitely to be prepared for it in, let's say, next year and next or year after.
It's still too uncertain to really fix the figure. 400 million euro revenue would be a good figure, but we might even have to be prepared to go a little bit lower. That we have to see what we can do. The question is our...
To answer his question, this is Stefan Weber speaking. The two-digit EBIT is deemed possible at 400 million,
yes. Yeah.
Euro, to give a clear answer. That's definitely in our scope.
So okay. We're working on the performance and on the, let's say, process improvement, so when the business comes back, we can take advantage of those improvements, yeah, to give you just an insight. Yeah.
Okay, and then maybe on your new machine, SmartCare, I think you have had some ramp-up costs in the second quarter. Is that meanwhile over? So is the learning curve at a stage that you can say your production costs are already on a normal level, or will this take some more time? And in connection with that, the platform concept, I think this should be completely implemented only in 2021. So from the current point of view, what do you expect will be the impact, let's say, on the gross profit margin?
First of all, of course, we do not report the gross profit margin on the machines especially, but in the sense the cost for implementation of the serial production are done and are invested, and I think we are on a good way of having a standard, let's say, performance in building the machines compared to our other machines. And I think we discussed this in previous calls as well. The platform concept kicks in with our North American global product platform, where the SmartCare as a platform concept then will carry over and help us in really, let's say, adding profitability to the U.S. besides the measures we are currently taking in that business.
Okay. I remember you expected a tax refund in the second quarter. So But when looking on the detailed figures for Q2, you had a tax rate of 27% only for Q2. So was this tax refund included? And if yes, how much was it?
Tax refund you do not see on the P&L side, but on the cash flow side.
Okay, so
you look to the changes in the tax paid between both quarters, you can see the number.
Okay, only look on the P&L, so I understood. Okay, and maybe my last question, if I may, CapEx was very much down in the first half of the year. Can you provide us with a figure or what do you expect to invest for the full year?
For the actual current year, we now expect the CapEx to be on the range between 6 and 8 million.
So on the level of the previous years or even a little bit more?
Yeah.
Now depends
on the development of the rest of the year.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah.
The next question is from Alexander Halitzer, Hauck & Aufhäuser. The line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you very much for taking the question. I'd like to ask on the regional guidance and basically the how those pieces are coming together. From what it looks like, the performance in Europe should be better in the second half of the year than it was in the first half of the year, which is also evident by the fact that the order intake you mentioned has been only low single-digit decline in June. Then also Asia-Pacific would grow for the full year. And then when I back out the implied performance for North America, I get to a quite substantial decline in terms of revenue for the second half, around 40 to 50%. And then at the same time, you are guiding for an increase in EBIT result in the full year for 2020 for North America. And the question I'm just asking myself is by how much may sales decline in the second half of the year in North America for you to still be able to show increasing EBIT result? You could follow me on that.
Yeah, I could follow you, but it was quite a number of issues that you addressed. This is Stefan Weber speaking. I mean, in North America, yes, we will see, you analyzed that correctly, we'll see a significant drop in sales, and significant could be in the range of 40%, yes. However, why do we expect a better EBIT? First of all, we have done, like we also announced, substantial measures. We have taken substantial measures to be in a much better position now, as we have been, and they are paying in already. Plus, we have the government funds there that help us to compensate on the HR cost. I mean, they are basically meant to compensate the running expenses on personal expenses that we have in the U.S. And all in all, we will surely have a better, I mean, we are convinced that we have a better result than last year. How good it will be depends a little bit whether we will hit the 40% or it will be slightly better than that. In the results, but we will definitely show a significant better performance in EBIT than we showed last year due to the taken measures and the subsidies.
Mm-hmm. And just to confirm the better EBIT performance, you're talking about an increase in EBIT result, but the base is negative, so you're implying that the EBIT would be either less negative than last year, or are you implying that it can be at least break-even? What's the message here?
I mean, at the moment we are fighting definitely for break even. That's and it is still visible, and as long as it is visible, we continue fighting. You know,
mm-hmm.
And it is absolutely in vicinity. It's not that it is let's say mission impossible.
Understood. Thank you very much for that. And then maybe also kind of a little bit of a bigger picture question in terms of the behavior of the key accounts. You mentioned that you're observing investment backlog building up, and I was just wondering if you could talk a little bit about what is the typical behavior of key accounts in situations, or similar situations, in terms of how aggressive are they coming from these investment freezes they're currently having, because I would imagine they have contractual obligation with you for a certain number of machines over a period of time, and given the fact that basically there is a whole year dropping out, I would imagine that they would feel pressurized to go ahead and place above average size order in the coming, let's say, quarters. If you could add any color on that one, would be helpful.
There is no fair questions, I have to say, but there is no one answer serves all. I mean, the key accounts are not all acting in the same way. The larger key accounts, we in general have to distinguish between two types. One are those that have upstream production. They are suffering, let's say, the most, because, as you know, the fuel prices are down, so margins on fuel are low, and as such, they are very hesitant to spend money at the moment. Even in that cluster, we have key accounts that have started already to invest again in certain countries, so it's not a total blank that we pull there, but we have others also, they are very restrictive, and they're really, on a global scale, follow that, let's say, investment stop. The other larger group of key accounts are those who are not having no upstream business, but they are into retail business, and they might even make better margins on the fuel as they have been doing before. They might be selling less fuel, but with better margin because they purchase the fuel and resell it like they resell car wash or Mars bars and cigarettes. In that sense, they have to be judged in a different way. And there also we see different behaviors and also different behaviors in different parts of the world. Overall, I think our statement is fair that we made, that we see in particularly in Europe now after the, let's say, May, June, we have almost a normal behavior on direct invests from direct customers, where we still have, let's say, a very hesitant behavior from major key accounts, as we said. Whether this stays until end of the year, very difficult to say. I mean, you're also following, I think, the economic news and what Total and the BPs and the Shells announced. They all have been speaking until end of Q2 or end of Q3. Nobody said for the full year. And we are in close contact and try to do whatever we can do, but I cannot give you a sharp answer on that. You know, that's the best of the answers I can provide.
I appreciate it. And if you could update us, if that's something you disclose, what is roughly the split between the retail oil business upstream and also maybe the exposure to retail grocers chains?
60-40, I would say. 60 are more with upstream and 40 are more into, let's say, retail only, larger retailers. Whereas we have to saw, I mean, you follow the news yourself. I mean, we have people like Euro Garages Group who own in the meantime 5,500 gas stations in Europe. They are retailers. You have people like Circle K. They are a large player in the U.S. You have people like 7-Eleven. This is the retail fraction. And then you have the other well-known Totals, Shells, BPRIs, and so on and so forth. But I would say a 60-40 ratio would be 60% are with upstream and 40 are without.
I appreciate that. Maybe the last one, back to the North American business. You are targeting, despite the lower revenues, better EBIT. I was just wondering, this improvement, if you look into this kind of breakdown, what has been or what is expected to be driven by the structural measures, adjusting, optimizing cost structures, etc., versus the governmental subsidies? If you could give
Let's put it this way. I think a fair comment on that, I mean, with also some room to play, would be we're coming from a slightly above 5 million loss last year. If we aim for break even, I would say about 50-50.
Okay.
With a much lower top line, we have to say. I mean, we said it already in the conference in the General Assembly. We have been on excellent run in the first quarter in the U.S. Our order backlog was 10 million higher than in the same period a year before. That's what we see in Q2 in terms of revenue. However, then with COVID-19, I mean, I would claim that we would have seen a very good year in the U.S. with all the measures that we took, if not COVID-19 would have hit us. Now COVID-19 has hit us, mainly on the key account side, we have to say. And we had to readjust again to cut even deeper to make this possible. So if we can come to a result that is significantly better than last year with, let's say, 15 or 20 million less top line, then I think that is a major achievement where it would tell you where we could be in a normal year. Mm-hmm. Definitely profitable.
Yeah. Thank you very much for your answers.
Welcome.
The next question is from Michael Junghans, Commerzbank. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my questions, gentlemen. So the first one is, I would also like a little bit know a little bit about how your other two key count customer groups are doing. So if I remember correctly, you have key customers in gas stations, so like in upstream, what you refer to, and retail shops. And then in addition, you also have key accounts in the area of car rental firms and then the individual car wash operators. So how are these, how is the current trading actually doing at the moment with these car rental firms and car wash operators at the moment?
Okay.
Yeah, the key accounts, this is not what we consider key accounts. They are far too small and absolutely not significant in comparison to the other key accounts that we're talking to. That's daily business. They are... Some of them are dealt, let's say, or accompanied by our key account management, but most of that is local business as usual, like direct sales. So they are revenue-wise not significant to us. I mean, car rental, as you put it rightfully, is in severe problems because, I mean, we all say that, I mean, you know how many flights have been cancelled over the years and over the last months, and how many are still active, and most of the car rental business goes in conjunction with airports and flights. And this is a significant cut, and as you might have heard, or most probably have heard, that the Arve, which was the largest provider of car cleaning services at airports, went in insolvency in the meantime, and but there's already follow-up organizations that have bought into that business. But there, I mean, this is not our day-to-day business. You know, there is every now and then a project, but although Arve was an exclusive customer of ours, it's not significant by any means, to be clear.
Yeah, fully understood. Thank you. The next question I have is, if I remember correctly, what you recently said on the AGM is that. So please correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember that you said you would expect a better order intake from Q4 onwards. So if this is true, is this based on customer feedback, what you received, or what is your assumption behind the better business from Q4 onwards?
I mean, let's put it this way. The worst order intake we had, to no surprise, in April, of course. I mean, that's when the first wave hit Europe. And ever since, we have been improving, let's put it this way. Month by month, we have been improving, and in direct business, we are almost close to normal conditions, unless we have another second wave in COVID-19. However, what makes that a bit more positive, that we're also seeing that some of the key accounts, like I mentioned before, are starting to order again. And then if they realize that they still have some funds to spend, then this could lead to, it would come onto the basically non-existing key account orders at this point in time, slightly coming in July again. This would add to a significantly better Q4.
Okay, got it. And then another question is, in Q2, you saved quite a decent sum on travel and marketing expenses here. So, I mean, what is your assumption here for this expense item over the rest of the year?
I mean, it's pretty simple, I would say. We have spent slightly more in digital marketing, I mean, in order to be in touch with our customers where we can, but we have, of course, massive savings in exhibitions and traveling expenses. So it's very easy. There will be no exhibitions this year. So in other words, we will be clearly below budget there, and there is no further expenses to be expected other than virtual and digital sort of marketing forms, and as such, the trend will be there for this year. Next year, mixed picture at this point in time. Some exhibitions have been cancelled already, some are still in the calendar, where we yet need to see where this is heading to. I mean, we have no clue. But for this year, you can assume that will continue the trend, but not so much on the traveling cost, because most of the customers are happy to receive our sales reps again, and the service traveling has always happened, more or less, except for Austria, France, and Italy, and Spain, you know, where at certain times we couldn't do service because there was a complete lockdown, but also the wash sites were down, whereas in Germany and the Nordics and Benelux countries and the US, we were always delivering service and our machines were also in operation.
Yeah, got it. And then a final question so far is you had to book an impairment expense on doubtful trade receivables in the 6 months now, one and a half million, you said. Could you please elaborate a little bit on the specific customer group here and the sales region where these receivables were considered to be doubtful? And in addition, do you expect that significantly more impairments on doubtful receivables could follow for the remainder of the year? Thank you.
Do you mean the account receivables depreciation, right?
Yes, correct. Yeah, okay.
So what we see in the moment, and this is, let's say, different from country to country, we see the increase in aging of account receivables. We do not have a really fall out of the account receivables in the moment, but we see that sometimes it comes to situation in which we agreed with the customer some, partial payments of the open receivables, something like that, due to their situation, which means, that the aging of due receivables is increased, and what is reflected there is the IFRS 9 calculation, what we made based on, risk matrix, which aims that with increasing in aging of the receivables, probability of a fallout is also increased, and it leads to additional, write-downs on the value. So we hope, and this is, our aim also here, and our target to cash all those receivables until year-end, so we can, adjust this increase until year-end.
Okay, yeah, got it. But just a final add-on. I mean, to know a little bit more about the customer group where this is affected, so just to find out whether there's a specific trend which you can observe here in the market.
There's, to be honest, no specific trends there. It's a different customer groups are presented in there, so it's not really a specific trend by country or customer group here.
I might want to add, everybody is trying to improve the cash situation, especially also in the discussion of can I have a machine in Q4 and pay in next year and so on. And we have a very careful look at those requests, and it also depends, of course, what the situation of the company is that is requesting that. So it's, a going on concern in our daily business, especially now in the second half of the year.
Okay, thank you. So very last question. If I compare in the personal expense line, your Q2 this year with the Q2 last year, so the delta is 4 million in personal expenses here. So actually, what is coming from your business streamlining measures, and how much is related due to like temporary short-term work and government grants, what you recently mentioned?
I can tell you a little bit about the temporary workers. To get the flexible measures, as I reported in just a few minutes ago, we have 20%, direct people working in the production that are temporary workers. So by releasing those 20% plus, going into lower hours for a few, weeks, we were easily be able to adapt this drop, especially the shutdown. Yeah? And then there are some measures like Kurzarbeit, but the Kurzarbeit measures are not so severe in the production. We, of course, try to use and maximize that in indirect business. But then, of course, you in the marketing department, it's clear you don't have anything like exhibitions and so on. But the point here is that the personal expenses we now see, you see that we have a significant drop in the headcounts. And some of the headcounts, I explained that I think in the Q1 call, but it now becomes obvious. Our goal was to reduce to 1,820 headcount person. And of course, we have contracts that even in the second half year of 2020, people go off board based on these actions. On the other hand, huge fluctuation, and we increased our measures so that, including the US layoffs that we had, that we are really going further down of 1,795 being now the figure for June, and we see a further decline. So important is that those personal costs are the new baseline for 2021, and then we come up back to the decision and the discussion, what is the revenue required for a double-digit EBIT. You know, that's how the discussion is. It's not clear because periodically it's somehow shifted, but interesting will be, and this is our focus, what should be the setup point for starting 2021.
And if you would like to see the effect in terms of euros, it mentions our half year reports, there are 440k, if I have it right in my mind, what we booked as partly unemployment compensation from government and so on.
Okay, thank you. Helpful. Thank you. I'll go back to the queue. Thanks.
The next question is from Richard John, SHBC. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Gentlemen, just wanted to follow up on this thing with the headcount. So what is your target for the end of the year, as you are now minus 4% year to date? Could you give us an indication what to expect here in the second half to get a feeling what the basis will be here for the start into the next year?
Mm-hmm. So let's say when we look at the figures to the end of this year, which are now assured by contracts and so on, we will see a further drop down. Let's say an exact figures, I do not really want to disclose for the moment, because the measures which we take right now are really measures where we work on efficiency and where we really look at rehirings that we maybe don't want to do because we push the efficiency in the service and so on. And it's really a step-by-step, headcount-by-headcount process. And of course, we know that some of the headcount reductions then take in for the start of 2021 to get the double-digit aim. Yeah? But on the other hand, we work also on the cost level. So it's not all about headcount. We also work with our operational excellence program on costs, quality costs, purchasing costs, and so on. And the equation to put that down on the table is, too early, because we still have a lot of uncertainty what will be the next.
Yeah, it will be less, that's for sure, as where we are now. That's this one we can say, but how much depends also. Some of these headcounts we know we eventually have to replace, but not now, because we wanted to wait until the market is ready again, not that we have an effect that we had in 2019, that we onboard too early and then suffer the personal expenses cost and by that, you know, dilute our EBIT, you know. In that sense, we are very cautious. So there is a list, like I said, you know, people that will definitely leave the organization, and it will be less by end of the year. However, there might be also the one or the other that will come back on board, and still net we will have less, that's for sure. But the exact number, difficult to say at this point, depending also on circumstances.
Okay, so quite obviously then, as you mentioned, not as much as in the first half, so the low-hanging fruits have been harvested, but maybe 1 or 2 percentage points are still an option here. Okay. Then I would be interested in the competitive environment. How are your competitors behaving in the current environment? I think they are also in trouble with idle capacities and trying to fill their facilities. So how do you see the competitive environment and the pricing side for your products and services?
Yeah, I mean, as you rightfully say, that there is a competitive environment and everybody is fighting for business in order to keep the production occupied. So far, I have to say, with the business that we are running currently on the direct side, we have not made any concessions. We are selling at normal terms and also have to give one or the other order away. That's as simple as that. But on the other hand, we also know that some of our smaller competitors, they are really suffering to the point that they might even drop out entirely. You know, like in Italy, we have quite a number of smaller competitors that are at the fringe of bankruptcy for sure. That opens another opportunity for us again, you know, because nobody wants to deal with people that might not be around in 2 years, you know, especially not in capital goods. So we are keeping our margins here, withstanding the pressure and fighting for the cake as always. I would say I cannot see a significant difference here, because also they need to make a certain profit in the end of the day, you know. So I guess the major players are more or less in the same scenario like we are, and they have been a little bit cheaper than we are in the past, and they will remain to be so, I would say. You know, and we are the premium product in the market, and we are so far, in this, even under this COVID times, we have not seen any drops in margins because we try to keep our prices with good arguments and good solid investment in the long term at a level that you're used to.
So we should expect that the quality of your order backlog has not suffered from the current situation.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. And finally, a little clarification on this SmartCap product, as you mentioned. I think it's that the series production has started, but this refers, if I recall correctly, my mind only to Europe, or is the rollout already on a global scale?
No, as we reported, this is in the first step a European machine, and in the second step this is the basic for the platform that will then also be used in the US. As I said, this will take us into 2021, but I think we will have a good impact with the machine, since it really defines a new top line and gives all these additional digital features. So that's, let's say, the way how it's planned, and we pursue on that plan.
Okay. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Jasko Kovic, Frank Stamper. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks. Some questions left, most are answered. The first one is maybe a clarification question. In your presentation on page 15, you gave a regional split about EBIT revenue development for those three regions. And just to get it right, that you expect revenues to only decrease in North America, and in Europe and Asia it should grow, or did a mistake?
Can you repeat? We just had to get out a slide again for us. So
okay, on page 15,
Europe,
you were...
Europe
is a mistake.
Okay, because it
we
otherwise...
We expect a declining revenue in Europe and also declining...
Okay, thank you. Fully understood. And the second one is on your statements regarding the U.S. You mentioned that a 40% for zero decline... can be possible. Were you referring to the second half, or is it referring to the fiscal year?
Second half.
Okay, and the rest will then be followed by a decline in Europe, and this would then add up to your revenue decrease of 15 to 20%.
As we are expecting a higher revenue in Asia, we're pretty solid on that, and also higher EBIT. That's the conclusion in the end.
Okay, thanks. That's very helpful. And then maybe also on your smart care, do you provide any figures how much of your European sales will be, or the contribution of smart care to your European sales in the next, say, 3 to 5 years?
I know the discussion, but actually those figures are somehow maybe not real the real story, because SmartCare will define a new platform. So at the end, of course, the premium product is the SmartCare in its name. I don't know how the D-SPEC machines will be called.
Cannibalize our current premium line at the end of the day, you know, because we are selling something better. And as such, it's very difficult to answer. As it stands now, we are anticipating something like 200 machines next year as being a single out product. The moment we onboard the US, it could definitely be more, because that will completely replace a product as it is now. But there is no precise answer to that, because at the end of the day, like Ralf said, it's a platform, and it will definitely cannibalize the existing range.
Let's say the third step also increases, implements, of course, the platform concept, and that means, of course, that the digital... Sorry, we had here a thunderstorm coming in. But the digitalization, of course, will also be impacting lower spec machines, and of course we have a nice slide where we say we have 25% digitalized machines for the simple machines, range 50%, and the up top range 100%. But this means, of course, that the core functionality in the controller and in the sensors and so on, you can also put them, of course, into the lower spec machine, but the lower spec machine has, of course, less actuators. But that the machine can, let's say, reorder chemistry, this should be not only for the SmartCare top line, this should be, at the end of the day, be capable of for every machine, you know. But that's why the question for 3 to 5 year scope is a little bit different. As Stefan Weber put it out, the figures for, let's say, the next 2 years, which is concerning the SmartCare as the premium top line product.
Okay, that's a fair statement, and I fully understand. Yeah, it's fine. But maybe maybe last question, and it could be a more precise answer. You mentioned that your clients regarding oil business are pretty much 60%, and they're all upstream. So do I understand you right that you have no gas station clients that are doing no upstream business?
No, wrong. I mean, we were referring to the key accounts, the global key accounts. We have a category which has a global key accounts, we have local key accounts, and international key accounts. Global is a player that is everywhere, on every part, like Shell, for example. Then you have local key accounts, or international key accounts, which would be Orlen, you know, and then you have local key accounts, which would be Westfalen, for example. You know, they are only in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a category for these, and I was referring to the global key accounts, like the OMV that have downstream business, Shells, BPs, you know, that category, the real global players I was referring to.
Okay, thanks. That helps me out.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you very much.
And there are currently no further questions, so I hand back to the speakers for closing remarks.
So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for attending our conference call first half year report. I hope you are doing well in the future, and I wish you a nice vacation here in Bavaria. We just started, and we hope to see us and hear us soon. Thank you very much. Stay well.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.